yesterday was Pentecost, the great feast of the descent of the Holy Spirit. And it's the kind of feast that has reverberations through the whole year. Right? The Holy Spirit didn't simply descend on one small group of people at one time. He came and he has never left. He's continually setting the world on fire with God's love, with divine love. But we can tell that it's no longer the Easter season. The Easter candle is no longer here in the sanctuary. In fact, if it were not a feast day today, we would have shifted over to the color green, because the beginning of ordinary time starts after Pentecost. So we have started ordinary time. But the day after Pentecost is now celebrated as the memorial of Mary, Mother of the Church. A beautiful feast, a new feast, so it's not so deeply rooted in the tradition, but something to reflect on. And it's also the patronal feast of this parish. So Mary, Mother of the Church parish, although the celebration of the fiesta won't happen until next weekend. But today's actually the feast day of Mary, Mother of the Church. Now, the Anuim default position is always to turn to the scriptures, right? I mean, pondering the word is at the very heart of the Anuim life. And we will look at these scriptures in just a moment. But when it comes to a feast day like this, you have to put the pondering of the word in the context of the church's journey of faith. Because a title like Mary, Mother of the Church is not found explicitly in the scriptures. It's not as if there is a passage that says Mary is the mother of the church. It's rooted in the scriptures, for sure. We'll get to that. But it's a development of the understanding of Mary's role, according to the guide for the liturgy here, the Ordo. It says this: the title of Mother of the Church has been bestowed on the Blessed Virgin Mary because she gave birth to Christ, the head of the church. That's the first thing. The church is the head and the body of the church, Christ and us. And became Mother of the Redeemed before her Son gave up his spirit on the cross. That's in the Gospel I just read. Behold your mother. So it's clear that Mary is mother. Pope St. Paul VI solemnly confirmed the same title in an address given to the fathers of the Second Vatican Council on November 21st, 1964, so 60 years ago this November, and established that by this sweetest of names, the whole Christian people should henceforth give still greater honor to the Mother of God. So the original title of Mary is Mother of God. That's what we celebrate on January 1st. Theotokos, Mother of God, the bearer of God. And that's Mary's preeminent title, Mother of God. And that started when the Holy Spirit overshadowed her at the Annunciation. Right? That's when she started that new role, or when this new creation came into being. The Incarnation. But at the cross, Jesus makes this extension of her motherhood. Yes, she's his mother because she gave birth to him. But then he says to this beloved disciple, representing all of us, behold your mother. So he's extending the idea of motherhood from physical generation, nurturing, to spiritual generation. Otherwise, how could we consider the beloved disciple son of the Blessed Virgin Mary? She didn't give birth to him. Not physically, but spiritually, she is the source of life for the beloved disciple and for all of us, because she becomes the receptacle of all grace. She becomes the tabernacle of all grace. She becomes the womb of all grace, and from that womb comes forth the church, the whole body of Christ. So it doesn't say in John chapter 19, Mary's mother of the church, but it does indicate Mary's maternal role. And then, if we move 50 days later, or It's actually 52 days later, past Good Friday, we get up to Pentecost, which we celebrated yesterday. We remember that Mary was gathered in the upper room with the apostles. And that was the first reading we just heard today. This is Acts chapter 1, where it says, Mary, together with the apostles and with some women and with the brothers of Jesus, they gathered in prayer to await the coming of the Holy Spirit. So it's a subtle indication of Mary's role in the community of the church. Mary, who is already mother of the church, she's already mother, she has already received the Holy Spirit, right? She doesn't have to wait for Pentecost for the Holy Spirit to fill her. The Holy Spirit overshadowed her already in her conception, at the Annunciation, and forever. So Mary has this unique bond with the Holy Spirit already. What is she doing in the upper room then? That she's nurturing the life of the church, which is still, in a sense, in the womb of the upper room. She's gestating the church. She's cooperating with the Holy Spirit to bring forth the church. And Pentecost is celebrated as the birthday of the church. So if there's a birthday, there has to be a mother. That's Mary, mother of the church. Now, Pope Francis is the one who put this feast on the calendar, just announced it in 2018, so 6 years ago. But it's not as if he made this up. He's acknowledging the title that was formally decreed 60 years ago, and that is an acknowledgement of the role of Mary from the days in her days in the upper room, mother of the church. It's a profound role, and it's something that it's important for us to recognize so that we can more fully cooperate with what Mary is doing. I know a lot of people outside the church, and even some Catholics, they have trouble with Mary because it seems like she's just an interference, an unnecessary baggage or something like that. Well, no, that's not how God sees her. God has given her this unique position in his plan for the salvation of all. She's not the Savior, and that's obviously Jesus Christ. But she's given this role as the mother of the Savior. She's given this maternal function, not only for Jesus, but for the whole of his body, the church. And that's what we celebrate today. It's also an opportunity, and maybe Pope Francis has this in mind, it's an opportunity to honor in a fuller sense what motherhood is all about. And this is a modern concern. Motherhood has always been honored in every culture from the beginning of time until the 20th century, when all of a sudden, with the rise of what they call second wave feminism, or sometimes third wave feminism, it's as if motherhood is a bad thing, or a curse, or a biological burden to be avoided. And suddenly, motherhood requires a defense, a proclamation of its greatness. You might have heard that controversy that got stirred up about a year or two ago in the United States. Some government of documents replaced the word mother with birthing person as an attempt to accommodate women who identify themselves as men and so therefore don't want to use the term mother when they give birth. You see how crazy it becomes. It's a twist of reality. And a lot of mothers protested, you can't call me a birthing person. I'm a mother. Don't take away this noble, great title of someone who's participated in the giving of life. But don't take this away just to accommodate people with this gender dysphoria. Now, I don't know if Pope Francis has things like that in mind, but he probably does have in mind the necessity of upholding the dignity of motherhood. And also recognizing it's not only the matter of women who give birth to people, birthing persons. It's the bigger picture of conceiving and gestating and nurturing life. which is the role of the church. The church is a mother, and the church has a mother. And this today's the feast day to reflect on the beauty, the nobility, the profound significance of this role which God has inserted in creation and in the plan of salvation. So Mary is mother of Jesus Christ, she's mother of God, she's mother of every beloved disciple, each one of us, she's mother of the church. And so we honor her under this title, especially here in this parish, but in the whole church today, we honor Mary, mother of the church, and we are the church, we are the children of the Blessed Virgin Mary.